love.
Loveline is meant for an adult audience. Loveline may contain sexually oriented content. Listener discretion is advised. This is Loveline.
Loveline.
With Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew.
Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew in New York City. Drew?
Yep.
All right. That's how you know it's him. Dr. Drew is a board-certified physician and addiction medicine specialist. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Thrice is in studio tonight. Dustin and Riley are here from the band.
Hello.
It's been a good 9 months and change since they've been here, Drew.
That's right.
You wouldn't recognize the boys.
Really? They've changed that much?
Hair, short cropped, some facial hair. They totally different look for the guys. tomorrow night, by the way, Dave Attell is going to be in here, one of the funniest stand-ups currently working the comedy scene. And I'm not just saying that. You know I don't like stand-ups, right, Drew?
Oh, I know that, absolutely. You never compliment a comedian.
Right. But Dave Attell, very funny. And another guy is very funny, who I'm sad to say passed away over the weekend, is Mitch Hedberg.
Yeah.
You guys hip to Mitch Hedberg?
Love him.
Great stand-up. Yeah. Funny. Worked with him. Did a session of Crank Yankers with Mitch. He's did a puppet for him. And you know, when you do the Crank Yanker stuff, you have to just sit in the same room with the guy for like 6 or 8 hours. So you really get to know him. But he was a really nice guy and really funny and really sad that he passed away.
Yeah. Really severe heroin addict.
That's what happens at 37, I think. That's Drew, do you cross paths with him?
Not that I know of. You know what I mean? I treat a lot of people. I don't realize who they are sometimes. I don't remember treating him.
No, I know.
You mean did I slam heroin with him?
Yeah. No, I meant did you treat him? You don't know if you did.
I don't think I did.
But when you heard the story, did it sound familiar?
Very familiar. People, you got to stand back and remember heroin addiction is a deadly condition. And it's independent of who has it. It kills people. And it's just a sad thing.
How do you die technically of heroin addiction?
You don't die of the heroin. You die of either an overdose, or you die of an infection, or you die of AIDS or kidney failure, or the things that are developed as a consequence of the chronic use of the heroin.
Mm-hmm. And do we know how Mitch died?
I think it was overdose.
Oh, really? All right. Well, very sad. Very nice guy. Very funny. Stand up, and he'll be missed. Now let's talk about Thrice.
Nice segue.
We're going to play Coachella in the Warped Tour coming up this year. Going to play something off the CD. You guys are going to go. Cut a record, and you're going up to the mountains, like the Ozark Mountains or something. Where are you going?
It's basically up pretty close to Woodstock, and it's a place called Bearsville. It's just out in the woods. You stay at a cabin and. The studio is
yeah. Anderson wants the hey Drew.
Let me guess. Wait, let me guess. Turn the mics up. Turn the mic up.
We're just laughing because every single night we have a guest, and every single night about 12:03 and 11 seconds, Anderson goes, "Turn the mics up." But that'll just keep going in perpetuity. But go ahead. I'm sorry.
Basically, it's just up in the woods, and you walk a 100 feet to the studio, and it's really nice. We were there in the winter last time doing our drum tracks. And
does it, do you go there to get away from it all, or do you have a connection?
I think it's just nice to get out there and not have to worry about cars driving by every 2 seconds.
You're just totally focused on making a record, and it's not about being in LA and mixing it up with people here or having distractions of family and friends and stuff. So
yeah, in a way, it's like, you know, and I don't know, how long does it take? Does it take a month or 6 weeks?
About 6 weeks, I think.
About 6 weeks?
Probably gonna take about 6 weeks.
It's like a boxer going into training camp. Can't have his girlfriend and his neighborhood buddies hanging around. Got to go up to Big Bear. Got to get away from it all.
Run around in the woods.
Run around the woods. Go to bed at 8:30. Get up at the crack of F. Start producing. Start working.
Box a cow carcass.
Hit a carcass, yeah. Swinging carcass. Tenderize those ribs. Yeah, you can't hit a heavy bag, Drew. That's not going to work.
Only carcass.
You have to hit flesh. All right. But, all right. And, Drew, I'm still wanting to be called the Vicar of Christ tonight.
Oh, tonight
that's
again.
That's possible.
Okay, yes, your vicarness.
Yeah. The Pope is also known as the Vicar of Christ. A lot of people don't know that. He's passed away. We got about 12, 13 more days before there's a new Pope, thus a new Vicar of Christ.
You're the inner rim.
I'm not going to call myself the Pope, but the Vicar of Christ sounds kind of nice.
And
I said just for a couple of weeks, you know.
Isn't he also called the Papal?
Yeah, he's the Papal or the no, he's the Pontiff. There's really too many Pope related names. The Pope, good enough. We don't need the Vicar of Christ and the Pompous and the Papal and all this. And those are the only ones us idiots know. There's got to be 300 other ones.
And Anderson, of course, Pontiff is quite appropriate for Adam, who we might say pontificates. Yes.
You know what I like most about the Pope? He sounded like Count Dracula. Did you ever hear him talk? He really did sound like Dracula. He sounded like Bela Lugosi. It was awesome. All right. Drew, yeah.
Did you hear about the old Pope, like in the 50s, that they were like carting him around and he was rotting and his nose fell off? Did you hear about that on talk radio today?
Oh, my God.
No.
Weekend of Bernie's.
They're like against science, the Catholic Church. So they said, he'll be cool. We'll just cart him around for a few days and not so cool. They had the guards on 15-minute increments because they couldn't take the stench.
Oh, you mean he was dead?
He was dead, and they're carting him around like they're doing with this guy, with John Paul.
He's a Pope. He's not going to break down, Adam. Don't you understand?
Well, if he's a saint, he's not supposed to.
Of course.
Oh, I see. But John Paul at least had a pulse when they were carting him around, right?
No. They're carting him around right now, and he's dead.
Still carting him around?
Until Friday.
Oh, you haven't seen that? You haven't seen that?
I did see some, like, crowd surfing or something going on. I just thought that was a Pepsi commercial, and they crossed the line. I didn't have the sound up.
But the point is...
Really, CNN?
In days gone by, they assumed he wouldn't decay because, you know, he's the Pope, and so they carted him around until parts of him fell off.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Well,
that'd be a cool souvenir to have.
Really would be. I got one of the Pope's lobes.
Papal proboscis.
Yeah. The Pope's lobes would be a decent name for a band.
That'd be pretty solid.
Yeah, that would work. Oh, so they would cart him around and he just would start decomposing.
Exactly.
And then eventually, what, 15 days later after they hit him with the silver hammer, when would they know to bury him?
I don't know.
You know, the thing about... you know, whenever they talk about these cults, like people start, you know, they start making fun of these groups like the Raelians who believe that, you know, they're from outer space or some other group that's cloning or these other Branch Davidians or something like that. Everyone makes fun of them. Same people that cart around the corpse and the same people that are up on the mountain waiting for the seas to part and the frogs
rapture.
To start raining and the rapture and the second coming. I mean, you really break down Catholicism. It holds its own in the weird department with any of these other newfangled ones. It's just we're used to it. And I don't think we know all the stuff like carting around the corpse of the Pope. All right, Drew.
Yeah.
We don't have the computer working just right
here.
Oh, no. Well, that's all right. You know why?
Okay. Why?
Because producer Ann is on her game.
Tell her to try and reboot it because we just did it at our end.
Oh, okay. Try to reboot it, producer Ann. She wrote down the call, so I'm just going to take them in order. So what do you say about
cool.
that?
Fabulous.
Joe? Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
You gotta tell me what line he's on so I can play.
Oh, I see you're gonna do it. So give me line two. Give me Joe.
Why don't we hear a Thrice song?
Hello.
Why don't we hear 10 Thrice songs?
Hello,
Joe.
Yeah.
You're 19. What's up?
I just want to say Thrice DVD, awesome.
Thanks,
Thrice,
man. Thank you.
Standard. You know, just pretty high. My question is about your songwriting process. You know, your sound kind of like changes drastically from CD to CD, and I was wondering if like you guys change anything in your songwriting style process. Anything?
not really. I think every time we just approach it different, and every song gets to approach different too. I mean, there's songs on the record we're writing right now that came together in a day or two, and it's one we're working on today. We've been messing with for months and months and months.
Yeah, I heard the new song, Orangeville. Sound great.
Oh, cool.
Oh, thanks, man.
Yeah. Joe, are you a virgin?
No.
No?
Oh, please.
Really? What do you got going? One girlfriend?
I don't know. Three? I don't know.
No, you don't have three girlfriends.
I don't have three girlfriends now.
He said had.
You've had three girlfriends.
Yeah.
Your pinky, index, and forefinger?
Sure.
All right, buddy. All right, you going through a little dry spell now?
Yeah.
Okay, shocking. So what's going on, junior college?
Of course.
All right, buddy. All right. All right. Just playing some hunches, reading the voice, just reading it.
Pretty good.
What junior college are you going to?
Gavilan.
Oh, Gavilan.
Yeah.
Go Gauchos.
Gilroy, California.
All right.
Gilroy.
Beautiful country out there.
That's the garlic capital, is that the garlic capital?
Yeah.
Yeah, they have those festivals. Yeah, mm-hmm. And then they try to. The thing about the festivals is they're all like, I'm with them until they get to a certain point where they're like, yeah, we got garlic chicken, okay, garlic potatoes, and we got garlic Jello, and you're like, no, and then they go, no, it's good, yeah, it's good for garlic Jello, but it's not good for like orange Jello or grape Jello or something like that, is it? You know, they got the other stuff. You have to keep going. Like, here's my thing. Whatever festival you're throwing, I don't care if it's pineapple or garlic or whatever you're getting together and throwing, stick with the stuff it works for. Don't push.
That's good. Yeah.
Don't get into it. Yeah. If you're doing, like, the parsley festival, that's fine. Don't push into the ice cream. Just stick with the nice lamb chops and the stuff that works, you know? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
All right.
All
right.
That's all they got, though.
Where's Ant? No, it's not. They don't have Anderson split pea soup over there, do they?
No, it's way south.
All right.
I don't think so.
All right there, brother, man.
All right. Hey, can I ask one more question?
Yeah.
Dustin, hey, is there any truth to you liking pie? Like a message board form?
No.
Really?
You don't like pie?
I don't mind pie.
Oh.
But
wow.
I think the joke
was
that
right now.
Somewhere in in England, they say you like pie if you are heavier than they think you are. So they thought they thought I was heavy.
Oh, really? No. You like pie?
That's what I'm thinking it is.
Ah, that's clever in a mean way. Now, do they just do it to foreigners?
I have no idea.
They're like trying to pull one over on.
I didn't even know there was this thing going on until someone asked me the other day. Do you like pie? I was like, I guess so.
Oh. All right, are we going? Get rid of Joe, would you please?
Hey, speaking of pie,
I'd like to build a time machine so we could go back 10 minutes and get rid of Joe. Can we do that?
I want to follow on Joe and talk more about pie. I'm looking for a diabetic. This is for Discovery Health Channel. A diabetic, male or female, who didn't take good care of their diabetes during adolescence and now have sexual dysfunction in their young adulthood. It's a very common thing for men to have erectile problems.
Well, but what about women?
I'm interested in talking to women, too, that have difficulty with sexual functioning. So if
how does that manifest itself if you have diabetes?
They might have orgasmic dysfunction and
really?
Arousal problems, dryness, yeah. It damages the nerves in the pelvic area. They're very sensitive nerves. And so the things that, you know, that you won't even feel the arousal sometimes, or you can't, the sort of stimulation isn't normal.
So if you have diabetes, what's it go after?
It goes after blood vessels, particularly tiny blood vessels. And the most delicate vessels in your body, amongst them, are the ones that feed your nerves. So the first thing you lose is peripheral nerves. They're very dependent on the blood vessel for their survival. Mm-hmm. And then you lose your kidney, and then you lose your heart and brain, and there you go. That's diabetes.
Then they start passing you around, right?
And your nose falls off.
All right. It's tough. I don't want that gig, but I do want the hit in the head with the silver hammer to make sure he's dead 3 times gig. That's a gig I could go for.
Who does that?
I don't
Maxwell.
Know. I just Maxwell Silverhammer?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, Drew.
Yeah.
Beatles reference, everybody. Is that what they were talking about with the Maxwell
Silverhammer? That's what I wonder.
Interesting. Anyone else know that song?
I know the song. I don't know if it references that.
Engineer Chris?
Nope.
Okay.
Shocking.
See? All is still right with the world. let's talk to Rocky, who's on line 6, Engineer Anderson, 22, female. Uses a strap-on with her girlfriend.
Yeesh. That's right.
Really?
Yeah.
All right. So, are you full-blown lesbo?
Oh, yeah. I've been a lesbian all my life.
As opposed to what, Adam?
Well, I don't know. Women are so pliable these days, especially young women. They
the strap on is a commitment, Adam. The strap on is a commitment.
That's why I went with the full blown rather than the inquiry. Yeah. All right. And what's the question?
My question is, my wife and I have been together for 2 years.
Nice.
And 2 months ago, she actually started having a burning sensation during sex with the strap on. And we were wondering if that was a latex allergy.
Was there any smoke? You got to slow down.
Yeah, it was smoke.
Really get going. You got to dump some water on there.
I would be
cutting cement with a saw blade.
Reluctant to jump to a latex allergy right off the top. Obviously, you're introducing a foreign body, and so you can bring bacteria, and that can cause vaginitis. You can get yeast infections, not really know it. And just the irritation, just the actual friction, the actual rubbing can cause irritation and burning.
How long? But you've been using the same device for some time, right?
Right.
How long?
I think we bought it right around
59.
About 59. Yeah, I'm not that old. Two months after our relationship started, so we've had it about a year and 11 months.
She's never had any problem with it.
You got an anniversary coming up.
Yeah. I'll buy a new one, but it's really clean. I keep it very clean and sterile.
Where is the burning?
And it just all of a sudden started having this reaction to it, and we didn't know if it was maybe the lubricant, if it was the actual device, if it was something else.
Adam, I'm just imagining this thing sitting in a little blue Barbicide container.
Floyd the Barber coming in. Look, this thing, first off, you got to change these things. You know, these things are like car tires. You can't just drive on them until you see belt.
Okay.
You know what I mean? I mean, if the veins are worn off the thing, it's time to get a new one.
How dare you?
Well, I'm just saying. You know, every couple of years, you got to break down and get yourself a new strap on.
You haven't told me where she's burning. Where's the problem?
She's burning inside her vagina.
Deep inside.
Is it deep inside, Deborah?
The whole inside.
Yeah, she said the entire inside.
Has she had a pelvic exam since this all started?
Yeah, she's had a pelvic exam, and it came back. I mean, there was nothing wrong with her.
Did she report this complaint to the doctor?
No.
No, she needs to report the complaint, because they may do a different kind of checking if they're looking for specific symptoms.
Well,
there could be a vaginal...
You don't have to say strap on, though, do you?
Yeah, just with intercourse, it burns. And
she's a lesbian. He's going to do the math.
Well, there you go.
All right.
Probably they would just give you some vaginal cream, some antibacterial cream, just to see if that would work. Also, are you, how old are you, the partner?
We're both 22.
22. And she's on no medication?
No, she's not on any medication.
Nothing? No hormones? No nothing?
She stopped her birth control a couple months ago.
Why is she taking birth control?
Because she was previously with a man.
Ooh.
Plus, you can't be too safe with those strap-ons, Drew. I know it sounds out there, but I swear I know a chick who got pregnant by one.
Well, Adam, they've been having sex for 18 months with the strap-on, and she's been taking the pills the entire time.
Like I said, some of those penises are so realistic now, Drew.
One of the things that happens, if it's a low-dose pill or a heavy progesterone dose in the pill, you can get vaginal dryness, and that can cause irritation. So make sure you use lots of lubricant and go ahead and get off that pill.
Well, what is she having? Okay. She's having sex with a guy? What's going on?
Right, exactly.
What do you mean she's having... Quiet down. What do you mean she's having sex with a guy?
She used to date a male.
A year and a half ago.
About 2 years ago.
All right.
We met and we started a relationship.
Why did she stay on the pill?
She didn't. She got off of it about six months into our relationship.
All right. So it's been over a year.
She takes it for her menstrual cycle.
All right.
Okay.
Well, there's your answer when we say she's taking the pill.
All right.
What position you do with the strap on?
All of them.
Chris wants to know. All of them. All right. All right. And you're always sporting it. She never sports it.
No, it's only used on her.
Yeah, but what about, you know, passing it around? Why do you got to Bogart the strap on?
Why do I Bogart? I don't enjoy penetrative sex. I've never had sex with a male, and I don't intend to have anything go up there.
All right, except for
Uncle Lou.
Many years ago,
Oh, boy.
What happened, baby? Something happened?
No, nothing. I just don't enjoy it. I enjoy other things.
How do you know you don't enjoy it?
Many of the times that I've tried, it's not worked very well. It's been not enjoyable for me.
All right. Anything we need to know about you? Ever molested? Anything like that?
No, not molested. Mm-hmm.
A little bit.
She sounds more, you know, straight lesbian, if there is such a term.
Any physical abuse? Where's your dad?
My dad lives in Atlanta.
Aha. Uh-huh. What happened? How are you doing with him? You love him?
I love my dad.
Okay.
She's straight lesbian.
All right, we're gone. We're with you.
I like the oxymoron, though, straight lesbian. That's good.
All right, baby.
I like it, so I'll use it. Thank you, guys.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Go to town. Enjoy.
All right. Hey, thanks. Bye.
Strap-on.
Barbicide.
You know, the thing about a strap-on I never really thought about is if you ever get interrupted, like, you know, it's one thing if you're straight or getting it on with your girlfriend and, like, your stepmom barges in or something, you at least can pull the covers over you or, like, run and throw a robe on or something. Strap-on's going to take you 10 minutes to get out of. That's like a pilot's ejector seat. It's going to take a couple guys got to help you. They got to load the chute in and stuff.
You need a release valve, some sort of red tag that you
strap-on
pull and the whole thing
ejection.
Just falls.
Yeah. Just yank on it. Poof. It just blows. Like, it's like a dragster chute. Just pow. Sailing out the door. Anderson, would you hang up, please? So you're running, because you will be running around with this thing on. You probably, if you try to take one off fast, you'd probably strangle yourself.
I would probably
try to go over my head with it instead of down low. Oh, yes, it's happening.
Well, you'd have to get your testes through the thing. I mean, it could take all day.
Yeah, you're right, Drew. Thanks for bringing up my testes. Let's hear a thrice song, shall we?
Anytime, buddy.
All right. Yeah, why not? Yeah. I know we're running a little bit late, but why not? Well, that's right. I like to live on the edge. All right? That's why they call me the Vicar of Christ, everybody. First song we're going to play from Thrice is a little something called Stare at the Sun.
City clutching uselessness. Keys for doors that don't exist. I crack my teeth on pearls. I tear into the history. Show me what it means to me in this world. Yeah, in this world. 'Cause I am due for a miracle. I'm waiting for a sign. Saints and scholars both in your perfect plan unfurls. Do I trust my heart or just my mind? Why is truth so hard to find in this world?
close my eyes.
Hey, everybody. Yeah. Love Line. Justin Riley here from Thrice. Hey. We'll take ourselves a quick break. Nice song, by the way.
Thank you.
We'll take ourselves a quick break. Dr. Drew over there in New York City. We'll try to get our computer figured out, but if not, I think we're doing fine with producer Ann and our little sheet of paper. We'll take a quick break. Be right back after this. Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew in New York City. Thrice in studio tonight.
Hello. Drew. I'm saying where you'll be joining me tomorrow night.
I shall. Yes, thank Christ. Cars pick me up at 6 a.m. tomorrow. Yeah.
What's up, Vicka?
Yeah. The Vicar of Christ coming to New York. The Artist in the Ambulance is the name of the CD. And by the way, Thrice is already gone gold on their DVD just in pre-sales. How does that work? Is it out yet?
It's out.
Now it's out.
It's out.
But it went gold before it came out?
I think they judge it on what they ship out the first shipment.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's nice. Is that through your website?
Through Tower, I think. They do pre-sales.
But as far as we're getting words out to the fans that the DVD is coming out, what's the most effective way to do that if it's before it came out? You know what I'm saying?
But it's not now. You're saying
it's not
how
now. No, I mean,
do it on the website, and then I think Tower just facilitates it.
Really? So. Wow. That's a nice tip of the hat from the Thrice fans going gold before. And what do you have to do? Is gold DVD the same as gold in the record department?
It's a tenth of it.
Oh, really? Why?
Because nobody sells that many DVDs.
Oh, they just go by what they just pick. There's like an average, and then that's what they do, right?
Yeah, I think, and gold, like for anything, changes over time. Like the record industry doesn't sell half as many records as it used to.
So really? Gold gold has changed?
Gold, I think gold used to be a million, and now it's half that. So.
Well, I know it's, like, different in Canada, where they have a smaller populace and that kind of stuff. But I didn't know they changed it. Drew, were you
wrong
on that?
Not at all.
I have no idea.
I didn't know.
I don't know. Hey, Chris.
Uh-oh. Yeah.
Nick doesn't hop on that computer there, buddy.
Okay.
Now, here's the question. What is gold now? I thought gold was 500,000. Platinum was a million.
Million, yes.
But was it 500,000 in 1975?
I don't think it was.
Yeah, I think it was.
Yeah. I know. Mm-mm. But that's why you have the computer. Right. You don't have to think.
All right, man, I'm on.
All right. I think it was 500 and it is 500, but let's find out. All right, Drew.
Yep.
Who do you want to speak to? Do the hookers and Tijuana get tested guy? Vagina's dry. Oh, that's a girl. Long-term problems with the use of 500 tabs a year. Oh, X.
Dry vagina. Yeah.
Dry vagina.
Give me dry vagina.
Do you ever think this would your career would go this direction, where you're just yelling dried vagina into a microphone?
My life would come to this.
Boyfriend of 3 years once, really kinky sex. I want to go quick hooker talk. Go to line one, Anderson. Thank you, John. 28, what's up?
Hey.
Hey.
I've got a Germany or Florida.
Oh, uh-oh. I thought you had a hooker's question.
No.
What did he say?
I'm Keith, and I'm 14. Was there a screw-up?
Yeah, that's all right, though.
What's up, Vicka?
All right, you're Keith, and you're 14.
Yeah.
Go give us a Germany or Florida. Go ahead.
Okay, an alleged 17-year-old offers his... quote, young man's virginity, quote, for 10. It attracts a phony 10 million offer, but when it is alerted
hold
by...
Hold on, Keith.
Is this a speech?
An alleged 17-year-old.
Yeah.
Offers his virginity.
Yeah.
On the internet?
Yeah.
Like eBay?
Okay. Right. Yeah.
He's going to sell his virginity to a male?
It does not say.
All right.
Right, he didn't anticipate that, but that's in fact what, of course, that's who's bidding.
Right. So go ahead.
All right. It attracts a phony $10 million offer, but after a complaint, it is yanked from the listing.
Mm-hmm. So is this Germany or Florida? That's the question. Okay.
Is it a riddle?
Keith, are you on the line?
I'm so lost.
All right. Here's what we have to guess. Oh, This is horrible. Is it Germany or Florida? Where did this story come from? Drew?
Germany.
Drew, you say Germany?
Yeah, I do. Just on an impulse, on a whim. It could be. There's nothing in this to lead us one way or the other, but just go Germany.
All right, Dustin?
I'll say Florida.
Florida. Riley?
I will go with Germany.
Germany. Wow. I'm going to go with Dustin and go Florida on this one. We have two Germanys and a Florida.
It's a split.
All right, Keith, what is it?
The vicar is correct. It is Florida.
Whee! Yeah. See, now that I've got on my side, I can't lose. All right, Keith.
Thank you.
We're going to... Okay. Over under on Keith losing his virginity. He's 14 now.
4 years.
4 years?
Yeah.
Very, very generous of you, Drew.
Yes.
The over-under was going to be 27, by the way, not 18. All right, let's try, let's see.
Do people call with riddles a lot?
Well, they call with a little something we call Germany or Florida, which is, they give us the bizarre question, and then we guess. It dawned on us over at Jimmy Kimmel Live after scouring the papers and the Internet for bizarre stories. There's one of two places or two places in the world they come from. It's either Germany or Florida. And just decided to turn it into, one of the hottest games in the United States, Germany versus Florida. All right, Anderson, let's go line four. And
dry vagina?
Speak to Jason. He may have a dry vagina as well. Jason?
Yes.
You're 19?
Yes, sir. My question is for Drew. Mm-hmm. I've been doing ecstasy for probably a year and a half, and I've probably mm-hmm. taken over 600 pills.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just wondering what the long-term effects of that really are. I've heard a lot of diverse stuff about it.
Well, I see it all the time, and so it's something very, very predictable. Have you started sort of isolating a little bit, not wanting to socialize so much lately?
I can kind of relate with that, yeah.
That's usually the first symptom. What starts happening is somebody who's very, very social will begin wanting to spend time at home and isolating. Then they will start having little panic attacks, little anxiety, nonspecific kinds of anxiousness. Then they'll start having difficulty going outside without having panic attacks and then fall into a severe depression. And these depressions are lifelong. So it is due to a very severe limbic injury that occurs. Even 20 hits of ecstasy can do this. So
what's
definitely
limbic?
More than 100.
Is that the nuts?
The emotional system, the part of the brain that's responsible for emotions.
All right. I'm with you.
And so this, you really have to fight fire with fire with this one. You've got to get on some pharmacology, some medication to try to restore some of that biology, because this is those cells, it's like a gunshot wound to that part of your brain. Those cells just don't exist anymore.
Really?
Yeah.
All right. But good times,
I just find it strange that this far after X has been being used that people don't really know the long-term effects.
Right. Well, because there's websites out there that claim, it's no big deal. It's not controversial. Anybody that... The thing about drugs, illicit drugs, anyone that works in the field where you're seeing the consequences, it's not a mystery. It's very obvious what these things do. And ecstasy is one of those drugs where it's highly, highly predictable.
Well, let me say this, Drew.
Say that.
First, seems like X has slowed down a little. Not
it
as
has.
Hot
absolutely.
As it was 5 years ago.
Totally agree. It's
right.
Colleges used to be a big deal. Now I rarely hear about it.
Which means it's at an all-time low price-wise and time for the vicar to score. See, that's what I do. I wait till the market dips, and then I buy. And then as it jumps back up, I sell. I buy low, I sell high. And that's how I support my habit. But here's the thing, Drew. I know you have a problem with this kind of talk, but I would also argue that folks that see fit to do 500 hits of acid or X or whatever by the age of 19 are probably prone to some depression anyway.
Well, understandably, but sometimes it's part of exuberance. They're just partying and they're doing sort of almost manic types of things. And you could argue that would be a risk for bipolarity.
To put it in layman's terms, sort of burn out your fun center.
That is a great way of describing. I'm going to use that from now on. But the fact is, it's such a
hold on. I burnt out my fun center once when I had a. Travel mug of hot coffee between my legs and hit a speed bump.
That's just from masturbating so much.
Yeah.
But the fact is, that the syndrome associated with heavy ecstasy use is so predictable. This business of isolating and then becoming agoraphobic and then falling into this severe depression, it suggests that something very specific is going on.
All right. So you got to get. So here's the deal. If you've abused X and or you've abused acid, right, Drew?
Those are the two. Yeah.
Those are the two. You can't just sort of shake it off at this point. You have to go in and you have to go. You've essentially depleted yourself of something or burnt something out. And now you have to go have it put back in.
Or supported. Yeah. It's like if you broke your leg repeatedly. Well, now you got to wear a brace. That's it.
Right. Well, I was going to say more like you had some sort of, thyroid problem, and so you shut down a gland, and now you had to take pills to replace what the gland was producing.
Okay. All right.
Yeah? Good?
Yeah.
Maybe better than yours?
Of course.
Maybe a little. Christ liked it.
Your vicarness, please.
Thank you. The vicar of Christ here. Uh-oh. I'm looking at Engineer Chris. He doesn't look like he's got an answer on his face.
What's up, man? Yeah, I do.
You do?
Yeah.
All right.
In 1975, a gold album has been awarded 500,000 albums. The Platinum Album Award was added in 1976 for 1 million.
All right. And it's still 500,000 and 1 million today.
Yeah, yeah.
All right. Well, there you go.
There you.
All right.
Thank you.
You're quite welcome. Thrice in studio tonight. We will.
Does the vicar applaud for other people? You just hold them your hand to kiss.
I do, but I couldn't make it to him, and I don't know. He wears that funky chapstick. I don't want to get any on my papal ring.
Of course.
We'll take ourselves a quick break. We'll be right back after this. Yeah! Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew in New York City. Did I call myself Adam, Drew?
I maybe, and not your vicarness. I'm confused. Who are you?
Yeah.
What's up, Vicar?
I'm the Vicar of Christ. That's who I am. Dustin and Riley both here tonight from Thrice.
Hello.
They can be the Vicar of Thrice. Mm-hmm. We will hear a little something else off of the Artist in the Ambulance CD before the night is through. And guess whose computer is up and running now, Drew?
Yeah. How'd you manage?
Well, Chris is going to want to take credit for rebooting the thing. But, when you're the Vicar, you just lay your hands upon the monitor and pow.
Right.
You understand?
Yeah.
Lauren seems to think that she hit it and that made the difference.
Lauren could have done it as well. But again, let's not rule out the Vicar.
That's right.
That's a good sitcom name. Don't rule out the Vicar.
Just rule out the Vicar. I've got a couple things. One, I'm still looking for a particular male diabetic who didn't take care of his diabetes in adolescence and may now be having erectile problems. And secondly, people who tried things in the bedroom that they were afraid to bring up with their partner and it ended up being a good thing. And
what?
That's a hard one to sell. I don't know. It's a hard one to sell.
Well, you're not doing a good job of selling.
Basically, it's like you had something, some secret you wanted to try, and you finally told your partner, like our friend with the barbicide and the strap on. Maybe let's say she was harboring a desire to do that for a while, and then finally confided in her partner, and they did it, and it turned out to be a good thing, and now they do it all the time.
All right.
And then the male diabetic. And the other thing, Adam, I was weaving my way through the CBS catacombs here. The coffee is over by the CBS News, where Dan Rather said.
Drew's in New York and he's at CBS in Manhattan and you go down the hallways there and it's a walk through time, all the pictures of the news anchors and all the situations. Yeah, go ahead, Drew.
And I had kind of a mushroom moment where I was looking down these huge long halls going, the human harnesses mineral energy and steel and creates these miles of internal caverns. I mean, is it really that different than what ants do and what bees do?
No.
You look at Manhattan, it's just miles and miles of these internal catacombs.
Are we really that advanced? No, we're living in Uncle Milty's ant farm. I believe, by the way, there's a giant version of us who's looking at us much like a child in this ant farm, just laughing.
Nice.
Ho, 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 ho. That's heavy. And let me tell you, the Vicar knows firsthand because he's traveled. He's traveled and seen that man. Yeah, who knows? It could be like Horton Hears a Who, Drew.
Yeah.
Huh? We could just be a little dust speck, and there could be a whole other world that we're just floating around in. Wow.
Heavy.
I don't see any reason to continue the show, by the way. Do you? I mean, so Thrice sells a couple of more records, we get a couple of bucks. What's it all mean? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
We're just rats in a long maze built by the man.
We're just ants in this giant farm.
Yeah, man. And you know what? We have names for the ones in nature, like worker and drone. But, man, we don't have names for ourselves, you know?
Yeah, I mean, we have, like, Hesher.
We go by Doug and Rick and Frank and Sue and Steve, but we should really be going by drone, too. You know what I mean?
Yeah. You're the vicar.
Yeah, especially the guys like Don and Doug, who already names already start with a D. You know, if your name is Aaron, drone's going to be a little bumpy, but Doug would be a pretty easy transition.
And what are we going to do with the Todds?
Todds, they're gone.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll just hack them up and feed them to the queen. You know what I'm saying, man?
Yeah, dude.
All right, man. Wow. It's heavy, though, isn't it? All right, let's keep going. You know why? Because we got to help. That's the thing. We got to make
a difference. That's all that matters.
That's right.
Get right down to all these catacombs and all this heaviness. Being a
relationships
service.
And helping and providing a service.
Thank you.
Let me say this. Speaking of just nature and ants and all that, Drew, you've been out of town for a day or so. It's hot out here now, and it's game on with the insects. Here's the thing. It rained and rained and rained. The wind blew. It was cold and everything. And it was like you were living on a planet that didn't have any other species other than humans, cats, dogs, and crows. Now it's game on. Like, it's hot outside now. And I was just looking out at the porch light before I left, and there's stuff buzzing around. It's a tornado, a chunk going. And it's just as if everything is just being put on hold and being, like, watered and fertilized and nurtured. And now it's been hot. It dried up for a couple of days. Everything's out in full effect. All the weird little critters are buzzing around. I've seen, like, spiders running around in the house. It's game on with the ants.
I have a fly swatter that looks like a tennis racket that electrocutes things.
Oh, we got one of those. It's awesome. They're great.
I hear they're good.
You hit it, and this big blue spark...
Gratifying.
It works so well that I ran out of bugs to hit.
Oh, really? Yeah. Start going after the old lady. Sure. What are you going to do? No, you got to get your use out of it. The batteries will go dead. I want to get one of those. What is that? One of those, like, sharper image shots?
Yeah. No, it's like made out of yellow plastic, the one I have. Yeah.
No, but I think you get them at, like, the Brookstone or something.
Oh, really?
Oh, really? Yeah. I'm going to get one of those things.
Yeah. I think they had anything there that wasn't, like, black leather and metal.
So you don't smash the fly. You hit it in the air and you wave at them.
These little metal wires come together.
You wave and they explode.
Really?
That's good.
Yeah.
Got to get into that because I got stuff flying all over the place and I got ants going everywhere and I got everything going everywhere.
It's a lot of fun.
You know the thing. You know as I was thinking about it, they some of these weird, stupid things, but they. You know, they always say, like, don't get white carpet or light-colored carpet because it just gets stained and gets whatever. But if you got a carpet that's, like, busy and dark and you're trying to get a spider off the ceiling and it falls down and lands on the carpet, it's gone. It's dust in the wind, and it's just going to end up humping you in bed later on night. You got a light-colored carpet, you know, the dog drags its ass on it, you know it. But you do find the spider. Insects? They can't make it when you got a white carpet. That's smart. That's what I'm going with, Drew. White carpet.
White.
And you know what? It's classy. People know the vicar's classy when they see his white carpet.
Yeah, know that all right, you let's and see. The dog have been dragging your ass on the carpet.
Let's see. I wish I could. I would do that.
I know you would. I know. I know.
I was farting on the dog today. That's one of those things that women get angry about, you know? They're really angry. What are you doing? It's like, the dog doesn't know what's going on. She does. Look at her. She knows. Look at her. She's wagging her tail. She'd fart if she could. No, stop it. No, no, no. And she should come in and save the dog. I wasn't farting on the dog. I was just sort of like wrestling with the dog, and I was kind of on it, and I had it pinned and just started farting. You know, I was just like, you know, I was in that prone position, you know, when you're on your knees and you're kind of,
You don't have to justify
it. You know what I'm saying. The dog does not know when you're farting on it, or if it does, probably respects it or enjoys
it.
They love it. They're begging.
They love it.
She was begging for it. And the wife's like in the next room and is like, come here, mom. What was that? So first is trying to blame it on the dog. Unfortunately, dogs don't really make any sound. They just smell.
Real bad.
So they don't hear, you know, the sound is a giveaway. It's human ass that's knocked that one out. And then I let another one fly, and then she ran in to actually save the dog. It was some form of abuse, and then caught wind of it, too. And then it really got ugly. All right, let's take a little break. Thrice in the studio tonight.
Very informative segment we just completed, by the way.
A lot of dog farting, a lot of Victor talk.
Yeah, lots of calls.
Light-colored carpet, the advantage of light-colored carpet. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back after this. Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew.
Hey,
Justin
buddy.
Riley are here. Hey, the vicar here. Mm-hmm. The vicar of Christ and Dr. Drew, also Thrice here tonight. We'll hear something else off the Thrice CD before the night is through, possibly in this segment. We should speak to...
Still looking for that diabetic male who didn't take care of his diabetes, now having erectile problems. And or diabetic females have had interesting problems, too.
Drew, why don't you get a website or something and get do your pimping that way?
It's a good idea.
All right, do that. Nigel?
Yes?
You're 20?
Yeah, I am.
What's up?
Well, my mom abused me severely when I was a kid, like physical and emotional, as well as, you know, traumatized my siblings and everything, which, to say the least, has an effect on me as well.
Mm. What'd she do? What was the worst thing she did to you?
She stabbed me repeatedly with a scalpel before the age of two.
Before the age of two.
Mm-hmm.
Repeatedly with a scalpel?
Yes.
Where did she get a scalpel?
She was into the rock.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Into the what?
Into the rock. She used a scalpel to cut up rock cocaine?
Oh. Yep.
Okay. See? She I did the scalpel, man.
She was an RN.
Mm-hmm. Oh, well, that's where she got a scalpel.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
Always takes a little while, but we get to it eventually.
We get there.
And she stabbed you repeatedly?
Yeah, a total of three times, according to my father.
All right, what's going on now?
Anyway, I wanted to know, with my coming marriage and everything, how is this, like, psychologically going to affect you?
Come on, don't be such a pussy.
Oh, Drew, please. How's this going to affect you, having a horrible mother?
Yeah, my relationships with women and everything.
It's not going to be good.
Don't you already have a track record of trouble?
I was told by female teachers, apparently, they think I disrespect women, but I don't see it. But then again, that might be part of the traumatization.
Well, here's the thing, Nigel. You sound angry, but rightfully so.
Right.
Your mom sounds like a disaster. Has she gotten herself cleaned up?
Not quite. A couple years back, I tried to reestablish contact with her.
Mm-hmm.
The whole born-again Christian, trying to forgive everyone thing.
You were born-again Christian?
Yeah.
Are you an addict yourself?
No, actually, I've never even smoked pot.
Okay, good.
We'd like to speak to the Vicar of Christ, by the way. And this must be a thrill for you.
Here's the thing, Nigel, is the manifestations of this are protein. It's very difficult to predict precisely how it's going to affect you. The kinds of things that we can predict is you're going to have difficulty regulating your emotions. That's one of the things that's for sure. Secondly, you're going to have a tendency to either pick people who are abusers or yourself become the abuser in a relationship. That's going to be the basic paradigm.
The born-again stuff is nice, you know, kind of keeps you in check, but I don't know if it does much to cure the problem. A little therapy would probably, a metric ton of therapy would probably be just what the doctor ordered, but the born-again stuff will kind of keep you in line, at least.
It's helpful. It really is helpful.
It didn't quite work out. She ended up running me over after I tried to reestablish contact.
With the car?
Scalpel.
Use
scalpel for everything. She tried to run you over with a car?
With a Corolla, interestingly.
With your namesake, Vicar.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Corolla.
Which I'm not happy about, but it's got a peppy four-cylinder, 2.4 liter in there. A single overhead cam engine. I mean, you know, it's not a race car, but it moves nicely. Did she hit you?
Yes. Broke two of my ribs.
Broke two of your ribs. Why did she try to run you over?
Apparently she thought I was a complete failure and didn't deserve to live, is what she told me.
Wow. Hold on a second. Well, she's a mess.
Whoa. All right, but there's some pieces missing, yes?
Well, yes. I mean, she must be severely mentally ill, like schizophrenic or something, more than just the usual Loveline caller mom.
Right, mm-hmm. But there's also little bits and pieces that Nigel's probably leaving out of this,
in terms of what he might have done to provoke her into that kind of behavior, yes.
He didn't show up with a dozen roses.
Well, maybe stuff he doesn't even
chased
realize.
Him in a parking lot with the Corolla. Right. And by the way, I blame the Toyota Corolla for everyone misspelling my name. My name is Carolla, and it's now C-O-R in every official document, every website. It's C-O-R. I'm just going to go ahead and change it. I feel that C-O-R is less attractive in the spelling department than C-A-R. If you
agreed.
Picture it in your mind's eye. C-A-R is a much nicer looking name than C-O-R.
And strangely, it's the car that made that transition.
Yeah, the car what?
It's the car that made the transition to the C-O-R. You would think that the car would have been respectful of the C-A-R.
Yeah. Yeah, it's got car. Yeah, it would have car right in the front of it. Yeah. Yeah. Why do they do that? All right. Anyway, let's talk to Nigel. So, Nigel, you went over there to hash things out with her, and she chased you around in the Corolla.
Hung out with her for about a week.
Here we go.
Staying at a hotel in the area. But I didn't like the fact that she was, you know, bringing random guys around.
Here we go.
A lot of them were, I actually witnessed a couple of them molesting my little sisters, and she didn't see a problem with it.
Bogus.
Yeah, now we're not. Now we're going bogus. Yeah? Why are we going bogus, Drew?
Because molesters don't do things that are witnessed, and siblings or relatives don't not call the police when that kind of thing happens.
I did call the police, actually.
You did?
Yes.
And what'd they do?
The guy's currently serving 15 years. Fallen Bay.
That was a good answer.
Convenient.
All right. So Nigel.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the thing. Never has a guy sounded less like a Nigel than you, by the way. And especially with White Trash Mom. It just doesn't work.
This all is not computing. This whole thing is not computing.
The guy from Duran Duran.
See, it's not computing.
It's not. It's not. All right, hold on a second. Drew.
It's not computing.
It's feeling bogus for you.
Yeah, it just does not compute.
But it's chocked full of specific
lovely details.
Information.
Yep.
But it's not holding together.
It just doesn't compute. Yeah.
Well,
but it's so serious. It's one of these things where he is playing unfairly, because he's described such a profoundly disturbed situation. We have to take it seriously.
But here's my humble take on this. And again, you know, I'm nobody. I'm just the vicar of Christ. Okay.
Okay.
All right. So hear me out. I feel like. I don't feel like Nigel is intentionally making a bogus phone call. I think Nigel is a confused and abused adult child who feels like this went on, and it did go on,
usually you feel the hostility in those guys. They're hard to talk to.
I feel the hostility in Nigel.
Oh, okay. All right. I don't feel it. Okay, fine.
I thought that when he first answered.
Yeah, I just seemed angry from syllable one.
Okay, all right.
You're just too far away, Drew.
Maybe, perhaps.
Nigel?
Mm-hmm.
I feel your anger, brother.
Thank you, Vicar.
Okay. All right, now, if this is bogus, you have to say something, though.
No, it's not bogus. I just have an extreme situation of...
All right. I'll go with you.
And on the comment that Dr. Drew made of... emotional instability and everything. I did seek psychology, and they diagnosed me with bipolar tendencies.
Okay, all right. So, post-traumatic stress disorder and bipolarity are very closely related. So, you make sense you'd have
so the vicar turns out to be right.
No, I said we got to take this guy very seriously.
Well, no,
so the bottom line is here's the deal. Let's roll this back a few minutes to where he was talking about his association with the church.
That was yesterday, by the way. That was a few minutes.
Sorry. A spiritual program is very important and a very useful adjunct to people who are in treatment and mental health kinds of services. The problem is it doesn't replace professional services. So the fact that you tried to, I wish all we had to do was send people to church and their mental problems would get better, particularly after profound trauma and abuse like you suffered. But it's useful, it's helpful, it's important. It's, as Adam said, it helps contain things, but you also have to be in very intensive psychological and psychiatric services. And as you get into this marriage, I would consider some premarital counseling just to kind of assess things, to see, get a plan together here, see what you're dealing with.
All right, I got a few.
My pastor had offered to do premarital counseling, but I wasn't really considering it under the grounds of I don't know how a pastor could help on psychological levels of things.
Hi. Hey, Niger. Nigel, this is
the hostility.
This is the vicar speaking. We're going to wrap this up, but here's the dealio. You're 20. You got stabbed and ran over by your own mom.
Yeah.
All my mom did was blow a little pot smoke in my face and miss a couple of Little League games. I'm a mess. Understand?
It's
so
true.
You have to be a train wreck. Now, here's the deal.
You ultimately overcame this and became...
Look at me. The vicar of Christ.
Thank you. Thank you.
All right.
And a true millionaire.
And literally. Literally a millionaire. But I don't need worldly possessions anymore, so it ain't no big thing. But I'm still keeping the money in case I change my mind.
Oh my God.
You know what I'm saying? I'm not going to give it all away, like the orphans or anything stupid, because I could have a change of heart, like over the weekend.
I have a story that...
No. Here's the thing. You're 20. Your life thus far has been a train wreck. It's not your fault, but you shouldn't get married at 20. If you're at the height of sanity and maturity, you shouldn't get married at 20. You should be 25 or 28 anyway, even if you come from a very loving home where there was no crack done and no scalpels thrust in anger, only in good fun.
In jest.
So that in jest, that's right. So do not get married. It's stupid to get married at 20, and it's stupid to get married when you're a mess at 20, and you've pulled it together reasonably well, but believe me, you're going to get married, and feelings are going to surface, and wounds are going to reopen.
It's not going to fix anything.
It is not. Take the pressure off yourself. Don't get married. Stay with the counseling. Stay with the Christ. Stay with the Vic man, and give yourself a little breathing room. Solve some of these issues. Resolve some of these issues, and then get married. And by the way, your mom... She's a write-off. She's dead to you.
Done.
Move on. That's fine.
And then listen to some Thrice songs. Oh, let's do that.
Oh, yeah. You got to listen to some Thrice. Because that will, everything, I'll tell you where I was at. I'll tell you where the vicar was at before Thrice came into my life. I was wandering. I was aimless, you know. I was like one of those, you know, drone ants we're talking about. I was on a treadmill, man. I didn't know where I was going. I thought I had it together. I thought I knew it all. I like that speech. That super blowhardy speech. I thought I had all the answers, but turns out I didn't have any of them. I didn't. But I thought, and you couldn't tell me anything either, because I had a quick answer, sharp tongue. I thought I knew it all, but turns out I knew nothing.
As if you could tell them anything now.
Yeah. And they said to me, listen to Thrice. And I said, no, I know it all. I'm sticking with Gordon Lightfoot. And they said, no. I said, listen to Thrice. And I said, shh, I can't hear the wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald. Quiet. And they said, no, listen to Thrice. And then one day, man, I hit bottom, man. I bottomed out. And I said, I looked at that Thrice CD and I just popped it in and pow, things came into sharp relief, Drew. You know what I mean? It just snapped into focus. You understand?
That was April 19th, 1984.
That was April 19th, 1984. It's the last time I ever raised a hand in anger and the last time I ever had a sip of grain alcohol. Okay? That's the blowhardy guy, the date guy. I like that, the date guy. April 27th, 1986, took my first hit of rock cocaine. January 2nd, 1989, my family walked out on me. And they just keep working dates all the time, all the time. I don't even remember what year I graduated from high school, but super, super date guy. Hate the date guy. What is the date and the blowhard? Why do they share the same brain, the date guy and the blowhard guy?
I don't know. I really, we got to figure that one out.
You know what I always hate, too, which is I have such anger toward the specific date people that even when they're telling me these horrible stories, I want to chime in and like they'll be like December 22nd, 1989. My family and four children were both killed in a horrible fiery car crash, and I'll be like, "That's horrible." But you could just said December 89 and you know, actually have the date. I didn't know it was a Wednesday. I mean,
you
I'm
know what
gonna
that
look
is?
It up.
It's ultra super narcissism. It's like
it
it's
is
a huge deal, and it's a date that should be down in infamy because it's important to me.
It is, and I don't know why. Like, okay, somebody's, you know, loved one died on this date, and they just give you the exact date. But I do feel it and experience it as very narcissistic, and it makes me angry.
Well, also because
we talking
have that,
about their family that's dead, and I want to chime
know,
in and yell
but,
at
but
them.
But we have that exact opposite impulse, which is to kind of go, hey, you know, it's a few years ago it happened. So, anyway, you know, we don't want to intern people. You know, we don't want to burden people with our stuff.
Yeah, well, plus I'm you know, quasi-retarded. I was at the writer's table over Kimmel this week, and I said, oh, man, like a year ago when we were doing that Dawson's Creek, and everyone at the table said, nah, that was 2 years ago.
Oof.
And I was like, what? Nah, we did it. Huh? 2 years ago when we did that? And everyone was like,
weird?
It's been off the air for 2 years. Yeah. Yeah. I don't even know the date I did Dawson's Creek. Come on. The Vicar don't even know the Dawson's Creek date. We will hear a little Thrice song, shall we? Do we do that?
Mm-hmm.
You ready?
Good. Yeah.
Let's see. Oh, we're going to hear the second song from this evening called The Artist in the Ambulance.
Late night brakes are kid at tires squeal. Red light can't stop, so I spin the wheel. My world goes black before I feel an angel lift me up and I open. Bloodshot eyes into fluorescent white. The siren hit the lights. Close the doors and tiny. Silent hero in my life. To a stranger and a realize. Empty words are not enough. Left here with the question of just what have I to show except promises I never kept. And I hear shaking on this bed to the weight of my regrets. I hope that I will never let you down. Sometimes it feels like no one really cares. Kiss me down, but I'm still gonna try to do what's right. Know that there's a difference between side of hand. Giving everything you have. There's a line drawn in the sand. Working up the wind to cross it as I hope that I will never let you down. So I spin the wheel. My world goes black before I feel an angel steal me from the greedy child of death and shame. Pull me in with steady hand, giving me a second chance. The artist in the ambulance. I hope that I will never let you down. And I know.
took the cheering in, but Bryce thought ahead and did it. They came in. Live, where was that recorded?
I was at the Apple Store in Santa Monica.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
For the opening of the iTunes music store.
Oh, yeah. I love that iTunes stuff. Although, Drew, I can't figure out how to work my shuffle.
I can't either.
Those are great.
Somebody just gave me another one tonight. The Discovery Health people did. And I'm like, I'm so excited. And I think, I can't make this thing work.
They gave you another shuffle?
Yeah. It's got two shuffles. Use them both as doorstops because you can't figure out how to use them. I can't figure it out either. But let me just say one thing when it comes to Apple. I like Apple. Everyone seems to like Apple. Their stock and trade is how easy and ergonomically correct everything is and how sort of intuitive all their stuff is. They could do much better in that department. Their first iPod, you can't reach for the thing without changing it or turning it on or activating it somehow. The older version of the iPods, you can't breathe on it without turning it on.
The first ones weren't like that. Then the second ones were.
Oh, the second ones.
The
horrible
touch thing, yeah. It was all pretty. And you just run the battery off.
Yeah, it's horrible. But let me tell you something I just noticed today with the Apple. And this is why I want to just holler at all businesses and explain to them what to do and how to do it. Like, there's a few things I'd like to do. Like, I'd like to confront the TiVo people and say, look, your old TiVo remote, which I use the hell out of, used to have the power right front and center, right at the top, smack dab in the center at the top. Now it's the smallest goddamn button on the remote, and it's 26 down and 14 to the right. That's where the power is. That's where you're putting the power? It was smack dab center, right in the middle of the thing, the biggest button right at the top, and you've chosen to move it down, literally on the left side, down 14 buttons, and just nestled in between two bigger buttons. Smallest button on there. That was your plan? Where's the scientist? Where's the guys in the lab? I'm going to beat the crap out of somebody. And how about you put a little tin on it so I can feel it when my thumb's skimming around? Because I got to have the lights off at night because, you know, I go home and I look at the, Cinemax after hours stuff. I don't need the neighbors know what I'm doing, you know? Yeah. How about you put a little dimple on there? And I'd like to talk to everybody about this. I want to talk to every company about it. I got the remote alarm for the car. It's got the one clicker that opens it and the other clicker that locks it. And you can tell because one has a drawing of a lock that's closed and the other has a drawing of the same lock, except for there's a 30-second of little black space in there, which would suggest that it's open. It's not a 16th of an inch. It's a 32nd of an inch of black space, which you quickly wear off by using it with your thumb. So now all I can see is the bottom of the lock. So I have two squares, and I can't remember which one of them opens and which one. Why do you have the same picture represented there with nothing but it? You use a little dab of white out, and I could. Here's the thing: if a pigeon could crap on this thing and make the two sides exactly the same, then it's a bad design. One should just be green and the other should be red. One should stick up. One should be convex and the other should be concave, you know. Why have the same picture of the same thing, just barely marginally different? And if you are going to do it out of liquid paper because it gets worn off in a matter of a month and now it all looks the same. But here, okay, let me say this with our good friends over at the Apple, the world's smartest company. All their plugs, when you hook up the computer, if you got a nice big Apple, well, which I do, I got like a G whatever it is, big tower thing. All the plugs, when you hook them in, they only go one way. There's an up and a down. They don't go, you can't just flip it over and plug it in. Mm-hmm. And there's 18 places and 18 wires. You got to get back there and sort of feel around. The wires go into these little tabs and their little white thing at the end. And on one side, there's the Apple logo. And on the other side, it's just a weird sort of stamped kind of like fork, like a pitchfork. Like this is a cable. I don't even know why they have it, but you tell me what side the Apple logo goes, up or down? Well, the answer is down, although that's very counterintuitive, right? I mean, you would think the logo for the company would go up. Horribly confusing. Engineer Chris, you have one of those Apple computers?
No, I got a Dell.
Good man. The point is What's the point is,
Adam, you got to look at your cables. The one has a pitchfork. One has a little tiny printer on it. One has a little monitor on it.
Right,
they have
but
different
they,
things.
They do, but on the but they all have the Apple
yes,
sign.
They
all have the insignia, and that Apple sign goes down when you plug it into the back of the computer. It's not that. Where do you plug it in. It's is it flipped over or is it flipped up? Right. And I'm just saying, where in what universe does the company logo go toward the ground?
Just get a Dell, dude.
I'm just going to get a Dell. That's Apple's it. I don't greatest. Even want a Dell. I want your Dell. Go get your Dell.
Yeah, mine sucks. Yeah, I'll give it to you.
Yeah, I know. I know. Oh, how much porn has passed through that
thing? Oh, humanity.
Oh, it's like... You can't calculate. It's like how much water's traveled through the Grand Canyon. I don't know. It's been millions and millions of years. It's hard to tell.
Sort of the Hoover Dam of porn.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm going to need that Dell. Thank you. Thrice in studio tonight. We'll take ourselves a quick break. We'll be right back after this. Yeah, it's Loveline. I'm the Vicar of Christ. That's Dr. Drew over there in New York City. Thrice, Riley and Dustin in here representing.
Hello.
We will take some more phone calls. Speak to, let's see. Got a question for Dustin. But first we got a sex toy call. Christy?
Hello.
You're 27?
Hi.
What's up?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Hi, well... Actually, I think I have a big issue. I sell sex toys, but when I get home, I just have no libido at all. I'm married.
We're having this conversation with your kids in the car right now, yeah?
My kid is two. He doesn't understand.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, where are you from? You Russian?
I'm actually, no, I'm actually Mexican. I have.
Really?
Yeah. I used to be like... freaky about sex, like I wanted it all the time and everything, and now it's like I figure, you know, I sell sex toys, I'm around all this stuff, I can get aroused really easy, and you know, like
this is sort of a syndrome that, like, say strippers get, is that they've had some sort of premature sexual trauma. They develop this bipolar syndrome where they're very super sexual or super shut down. Mm-hmm. And that is part of the trauma survivor syndrome. So what happened?
Really? Because, I mean, my husband, he's great, and he'll do anything I tell him to do when it comes to sex. And I just can't get...
She's not answering my question.
No. We call that pee-whipped in this country, by the way, yeah. Christy.
Okay.
I can't get over that accent. It just sounds European.
Sounds Eastern European. Yeah, Eastern European.
Really?
Mm. It does, yeah.
A lot of people like tell me I sound like French or something, but I don't. I don't know.
Hmm. Dude, what part of Mexico are you from?
I'm actually from Mexico City.
Well, maybe that's it. I think we talk to people from, like, in Tijuana,
Baja.
Nogales,
yeah,
and stuff like
Baja
that.
Mostly, in Mexico.
All right. And you sell sex toys. What does your husband do?
My husband works for the airlines. And, I mean, you know, he's like a customer service agent.
Oh, we've got some things to talk to him about.
Which ones he work for?
Continental Airlines.
All right. All right.
We have no grudge with them yet.
No, I don't have beef with them. But I could do a few things to improve any of the airlines. I flew Aeromexico. Oh, is that AeroCalifornia? What was that one I flew where the cockpit door just swinging in the wind?
Yeah,
AeroCalifornia. It was awesome. And I thought, we're going to Mexico. We ain't even going to Mexico. We're in Mexico even though we're still at LAX because the cockpit doors. That's an airline just saying, we're here to party, everybody.
It's saying welcome to Mexico.
I know.
Yeah, welcome to Mexico.
I always want to be a part of the High Mile Club.
You got to ask her about her trauma stuff. She's clearly got that going on.
All right. You're talking about the Mile High Club?
Yeah.
Right. Oh, I would love to do that. That's like one of my biggest fantasies. Because we do travel a lot. Because we get to travel for free. But, you know, he's always like, no, we can't do that because I'm an employee and I'll get fired if I get caught. And I'm like, oh, come on, let's just give it a try.
Yeah.
But he just won't go for it.
Plus, you know, you're making money sack over fist selling those dildos mail order, right?
Oh, seriously, like, I tell women how to, like, you know, ignite the passion on their life. And, like, mm-hmm. how to get out of the routine with their partners and how to mm-hmm. get aroused and how to, like, explore their bodies and see what they like about sex and blah, 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 blah. And I just can't get, like, it doesn't seem like it works for me. Like,
yeah, right. Please ask her the question.
I will. I was thinking it was ironic when she went blah, 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 because it wasn't much of a variation from what she was saying before. She was saying blah, 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 blah. I mean, it sounded different, but it didn't read as any different than what right. she was saying before.
Right.
Christy.
Yeah.
All right, quiet down. You're very manic.
All right.
Somebody, all right, what happened to you growing up? Ever molested? Anything like that?
No, actually never was.
What's your physical abuse?
No. Well, my dad was actually, yes, physical. Like,
yeah.
Physically will abuse my mother, yes.
Yes.
And I think back in my head, I kind of remember watching them having sex.
Oh, boy.
Like, mm-mm. you know, like when I was little.
That is sexual abuse. I mean, that has the same impact as sexual abuse sometimes. Yeah. I'm not saying it's a devastating experience for kids, but it can be rather traumatizing. So, like I said earlier, you didn't seem to listen to me, that you are having, you seem to manifest a classic syndrome of people that are trauma survivors, where they fluctuate between hypersexual and sexually shut down. And this sort of romanticizing about the sexuality is all a ruse. It's all nonsense. Mm. You are completely detached from the emotional experience associated with sex, and for you, it carries with it a lot of traumatic feelings.
Yeah. And by the way, when she talks to her husband, she's going to say, Dr. Drew said the romantic attachment was all rouge. That's how it will go down, by the way. This a ruse doesn't mean anything to our Stone listeners, and
you're
certainly
right.
not the ones from Mexico City.
It's a smokescreen. It's a smokescreen for what's really going on.
Hey, Christy.
Yes?
And by the way, I just look at... I just look at growing up in Mexico as a form of abuse straight away. So
I don't
care if your dad is president of Mexico. I still look at that as abuse.
Oh, I agree with you.
Thank you. Was your dad an alcoholic?
Yes, he was. Yes. He was a drug abuser.
Okay, all right. There you
and
go.
Let me say this too about Mexico, and I mean this with all due respect, but to be considered an alcoholic in Mexico, that's a tall. I mean, you really got to drink. It's like Canada with the gold records. It's just the opposite. You know what I mean?
Right.
It's on a curve.
Right.
For you to be classified as an alcoholic living in Mexico, you would be dead of alcohol poisoning. And if you lived in Utah, totally different. See what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So when you're from Mexico and you're saying the guy's an alcoholic, that means keg before breakfast.
It's the difference between a gold and a platinum.
That's what it is, right.
Yeah, he's a platinum alcoholic.
All right, your dad was a drug abuser and an alcoholic.
Right.
You got to deal with this, my dear. You've got a lot of stuff you're not aware
you're
of.
You're all whipped up, baby. You're going to have that kid up.
Yeah. This is trauma. This is trauma. At least if you don't, I would urge you to get a therapist and work in therapy. Maybe perhaps go to a 12-step program, Adult Children of Alcoholic or Al-Anon. I would be concerned about your husband. You'll be attracted to people that are alcohol or drug users. Mm-hmm. Your husband smoke pot every day?
My husband smokes pot, not every day, because he
most days.
Takes his pot.
Right, he's probably a burgeoning addict, because that's the kind of person you'd be attracted to based on how your dad behaves.
Mm.
So you got to be very careful about this. You're going to have to do some work.
All right, baby. Sorry to end the party, but really, your dad was abusive. It's affecting you, and you're going to screw your kid up. So get
this
yourself
is not about this nonsense about, oh, if we just explore your body and buy toys and stuff, that's total nonsense. That's not how the human works. That's all useful. It can be helpful, but there's a very powerful emotional experience attached to all this you're not dealing with at all.
I blame the piñata. I think this is a dangerous thing. Well, let me tell you something. And this is the vicar speaking, the vicar of Christ. That is, they take these children and they indoctrinate them into a world of violence very early. They take the young 3 and 4-year-olds, they blindfold them, they spin them out around, the kids are disoriented, they're confused, and then they wave a donkey in front of them, they give them a weapon and tell them, attack this donkey. And I think...
Your vicarness, the ultimate abuse is when the thing spills open and it's Mexican candy.
That's where the poisoning begins. Yeah, but think about it. Think about this. You send a message to a young Mexican child that there's candy filled and everything if you punch it hard enough, if you strike it hard enough, if you beat it hard enough. And I believe that boy grows up, and next thing you know, he's 22, and he's in a bar, and he wants some razzles. And here comes a guy. So he socks him in the head, and he attacks him viciously, hoping to get at his nougaty inside. Turns out there's just blood and viscera in there. No candy at all, but the kid is confused. Yes,
angry.
Girl?
Makes him angry. Makes him want to strike out some more.
This is why I would be a great attorney. Because if I ever represented a guy just aggravated assault or beat the crap out of someone, I would just figure out. I would just say he hit a pinata when he was seven. He's not the brightest bulb in the chandelier. He was trying to get candy from this person. How is he supposed? What would you do?
Some when of you little were sugar hungry? Cacti.
That's right. That's right. So you just beat the crap out of stuff with a stick, and you just think about the actual. You think about the whole pinata theme, which is the kid takes a vicious swing at the pinata with the mop handle. The kid takes a swing at it. The kid whacks the pinata. The pinata bursts open. The candy starts falling to the ground. Now, all the other kids can't be restrained. They just come sliding in. I mean, they just come. They're like planes landing on a carrier deck. They come swooping in. Now, the kid still has the blindfold on, still has the stick, and has no idea that the candy's on the ground. So the kid is still swinging viciously at the pinata, except for the thing is there's 13 little heads now where the pinata used to be. It just seems like you're asking for trouble.
Seems like a bad strategy.
I don't think the Jews would have ever come up with this. That's all I'm saying. I think the Jews are like, look, hide some matzah, and if we get around to it, we'll take a look for it.
In the meantime, let's eat.
They're not stuff a donkey with zots and spin a kid around him, attack it with a weapon. That's not Jew. Jews wouldn't go for that, Drew. You know what I mean?
I hear you.
All right. Thrice here tonight. We're going to take ourselves a little break. We'll be right back after this. Yeah. Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. That is Dr. Drew over there in New York City. Dustin Riley here in Los Angeles, sitting next to the hem of the garment of the Vicar of Christ.
What's up, Vicar?
Yeah. All righty. Let's get some calls in.
Please.
Can we do that?
Yeah.
Let's talk to some folks who have been on hold for quite some time. Sarah?
Yes.
24?
Yes.
You bleed a lot after sex?
I usually bleed after intercourse anyway. I'm kind of used to it, I guess. Mm-hmm. It's been happening since I've been having sex.
Good time.
And I don't know if that's really normal. I suppose it is. I just assume
it can be.
It can be.
Yeah. Have you had? Do you get regular pelvic exams?
Yeah.
All right. Mm-hmm. It's provided that you have no anatomical problems, polyps, that kind of thing, infections. It's normal, yeah. All right.
Okay. And, well, this last time it's just been really, like, I was bleeding, like, it almost felt like it was a period.
Have you started a new birth control pill?
I just started the pill. I've been on it for about 3 months.
That's why you're having more heavy flow.
Okay. Mm. Okay.
It tends to cause thicker and less stable lining of the uterus, so there you go.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so as long as the bleeding is normal, I thought maybe it was like a sign of an STD or...
It's mid-cycle wrong. Bleeding. No. It's just the birth control pill.
Okay.
All right, Sarah.
Okay, that's cool. There you go.
Good time.
All right, happy humping.
Thanks.
All right, good times. I'm just going to go in order of people who've been waiting the longest. Talk to Annika, who's 20. Annika?
Hi.
What's up?
Ooh. Well, I am calling in reference to me and my boyfriend and our sex life.
Mm-hmm. You sound hot.
Well, thank you. That's very nice to hear.
Are you attractive?
I like to think so, and I've never had a problem picking up men.
Mm-hmm. Huh. Hold on a second. Let me see if the folks agree with the vicar when he says that chicks that sound hot are either hot or not, but rarely just sort of in between. Yeah. Like, you would meet them and go, okay, all right, I guess you're kind of... They'd be like, whoa, I was right, or whoa, I got to recalibrate.
Mm-hmm. And by the way, saying I've never had difficulty picking up men doesn't mean anything.
No. By the way, yeah, that always, whenever someone says, I have, you know, when you go, are you hot? And they go, I got no problem picking up guys. Mm-hmm. I just pack 40 pounds right onto them immediately on my mind scale.
Where she's picking them up is important, too.
Well, just guys, the guys are just hounds, whatever, you know.
Oh, by the way,
you think you're attractive because guys are after
attractive.
You.
Yeah, right. Let me, yeah, okay. I bet back in the day that Pope they're passing around whose nose fell off probably picked up a couple guys.
Oh, sure. Say,
a couple guys along the way.
Well,
drunk guys.
They must be blind or something along those lines. But,
all right, so describe yourself, Annika, because it's a hot name, too.
Thank you. Completely honest, I'm 5'11", long dark brown hair, hazel eyes, about 165, 170.
Mm-hmm. Hold on.
There's your 40.
A little math there. 5'11". Oh, about 165, 170. We're up close to 180 here.
It's like me.
Yeah, this a lot of, but doesn't rock as hard. Or quite possibly doesn't. I don't know for sure. All right, Annika, a lot of gal, but attractive. Yes. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. No, you're not big, though, right?
No, I'm about medium size.
Okay. Ooh. All right, hold on a second. I know this is the world's cruelest thing to do, but we talk to people all the time that are like, we talk to chicks all the time. They're like, yeah, I'm about 175. That's, you know,
small.
I mean, I got a little meat on my bone, but no
five
problems.
5'2".
Yeah, she's not 5'2", but I'm just telling you, ladies, just to be cruel but kind at the same time. You're coming in about 170. Most guys consider that a little on the large side for the ladies. We like to, the reality is, sad but true, and I'm just telling you because guys are very visual, white guys, it is black guys, I don't know what I mean. So the vicar is going to get into that later on in the 1 o'clock hour.
But what's up, vicar?
Here's the thing. For most guys, about the 140 is sort of the cutoff before you start drifting into the sort of a little chunky or a little bit heavy set or whatever you want to call it. As you pass through the 160s and start getting into the 170s, we're getting ready to bust out the F word.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
All right. Annika?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So your boyfriend of 3 years wants to have kinky sex, but you're not really into it.
Well, it's kind of extreme. It's,
What's he want to do?
He's interested in asphyxiation.
Yeah. He wants really? To be asphyxiated, or he wants to asphyxiate you?
He wants to asphyxiate me.
Just say strangle. It's better. What's he want to do it with? His hand or a bag, or what's he want?
He prefers like his hands or a scarf or something like that.
That's actually very dangerous. Adam and I, you and I have known people that have had very serious consequences from this.
Yes, we have. Yes, we
and,
have.
And it's not something to screw around with, and it's kind of a bizarre impulse that it's something that he would feel compulsed to do.
It's a strangle with a scarf.
Yeah, worries
me
about it.
And then, by the way, what ends up happening is he ends up snuffing you out by mistake. He gets a little slap on the hand. And, by the way, they're in court, your parents are there, and they're crying, and he's on there, and he's going, "She was begging for it, Your Honor. I mean, I barely wanted to have sex, but she was like, nope, she was bored of anal, and your mom's just breaking down into a heap, and she's like, so she begged me to take out the kerchief and wrap it around her neck, and, you know, she kept saying, harder, more, harder, more, and eventually, I thought she just passed out, so I got something to eat. and then it'll be like, well, it's your first offense, son. Your mom's going to be crying, she's going to hear all the horrible details of your lurid sex life. Don't do it. And this one can kill you. It really can.
Yeah, that's right. And that's the reason that I am so standoffish about it. It's because...
Good impulse.
By the way, I want you to hear what you sound like. Yeah, it could kill me. So, yeah, I'm a little resistant to that. I thought I would give it some thought. What are you talking about? Sorry. Why do you even give it any consideration? No,
and
it's not going
to
happen.
I don't like this guy. I don't like that idea that he wants to strangle his girlfriend.
Very strange.
Yeah, now it's one thing to want to strangle your wife, you know, when you're telling her to hem the curtains for the 45th goddamn time and she won't do it. That's a natural impulse, like, well, I want to strangle my wife. But in the bed, now, unless the curtains come up, you know, while we're being intimate, then I go ahead and marry my two loves.
Rise in bed.
What?
Annika, I don't know, but you're frightening me a little bit. I don't trust this guy. Maybe 3 years is long enough.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And stop with the coquettishness.
And something's up with you, too. Yeah. What's going on? Yeah. There's some kind of weird sexuality thing you have, too. My spidey sense, my vicar of Christy sense is tingling.
Okay, vicar.
All right, baby. Something's up. And just, again, not to be cruel, 170, big gal.
And the Mae West interpretation doesn't...
it doesn't mean? Shrink that ass.
No.
It helps. But it will not shrink it. All right, let's take ourselves a little break. We'll be right back after this. Well, that's it. I want to thank Dustin Riley for coming in here from Thrice.
Thanks for having us.
Always good to see you guys. Continued success. Go out. Now, where can they find your DVD?
Probably anywhere. Huh? And there's a CD that comes with it, too, and that's what the songs that were played tonight are off of.
Oh, all right. So get the Thrice DVD, and you'll get yourself a nice free CD with that.
Adam, I'll see you in New York tomorrow.
I will see you in New York City. And Dave Attell. Really, Dave Attell from Insomniac, but just one of the funniest stand-ups going. And now that Mitch Hedrum is gone, well, look out. All right, so Hedberg.
Hedrum.
Hedrum. I'm thinking of Max Hedrum.
Yeah.
Yeah, now that Mitch is gone, now Dave is king of the Comedy Hill. I'm sure he's not happy about that, but what are you going to do? So, until next time, this is the Vicar of Christ for Dr. Drew saying mahalo.
What's up, Vicar?
This has been Loveline. Loveline. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Ann Ingold. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.